show. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. A comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite show. Radio, oh, why did you ever go? Oh, won't you please come back and entertain us? I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you so.
Once again, it's time for Yesteryear. A look back at your favorite dramas, westerns, comedies, and musical variety shows from the golden age of radio. Here's your host for Yesteryear, Craig Roberts.
Time once again to settle into your favorite easy chair for another hour of vintage radio. Later on, it's Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy with special guest star Mario Lanza. But first, let's slip on over to Duffy's Tavern. Duffy's Tavern really began when Ed Gardner created the voice of Archie, the Brooklyn barkeep, for an obscure CBS show called This Is New York in 1939. Archie was first heard in full dress in July of 1940 on the CBS audition series Forecast, and by March of 1941, Duffy's Tavern became part of the regular CBS lineup. Gardner surrounded himself with a small group of talented regulars, each a zany character in his own right. Duffy's was simply a state of mind, a showcase for the talents of Ed Gardner, Shirley Booth, Eddie Green, Charlie Cantor, and just about anyone who wanted to drop by. In 1949, Blatt's Beer took over the program for a season on Thursdays, and Duffy's finished on NBC as a Friday night show in the 1950-51 season. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear, to Duffy's Tavern and Archie's Christmas Carol from December 21st of 1945. Another classic show from the golden age of radio here on Yesteryear.
Major Bowes, I miss the shadow nose, Fred Allen's alley folks, the laughter of Duffy's Tavern, Helen Trent, oh, then we went to Can You Top This? Suspense in the Whistler sent those shivers up our spines. Uncle Don, I wish that he was on. Jack Armstrong, Bert and Marge, Amos and Andy. I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you. Sodio, volio, dodio, do.
We take you now to Duffy's Tavern, starring Archie himself, Ed Gardner. Duffy's Tavern is brought to you by Bristol Myers.
Hello, Duffy's Tavern. What are you late, mate? Dude, Archie the manager speaking. Duffy ain't here. Hello, Duffy. Merry Christmas to you. By the way, we got two more Christmas cards tonight. Well, one from Colucci, the fruit peddler. Yeah, very pretty card, too. It's got his coat of arms. Two crossed bananas with a tomato rampant in the background. Yeah, and the other one's from Cavendish the Undertaker. Yeah, it says, wishing you a joyous and merry Christmas and a short but happy New Year. P.S. Drop in and see our new Christmas wrappings. Yeah, you ought to be here, Duffy. All ready to join this reeking with Christmassy odor. Yeah, we're even putting on a show tonight, the Christmas Carol. Well, it's an old play by Charles Dickens. Dickens, as in go to D. Yeah, well, guy's a very famous writer, Duffy. He wrote David Copperfield, the Picnic Papers. that other one about the dame, you know. Oliver's Twist. Well, look, Duffy, I'm busy now. I got to rewrite the Christmas Carol. Yeah, well, I got to fix it up, you know. Some of the grammar is a little old-fashioned. I'll call you back, Duffy. Merry Christmas. Okay. Hey, Eddie.
Yes?
Look, it's Christmas. Why don't you say we kind of infest the joint with a little Christmas flavor? Leave us put some mistletoes around and some holly wreath, huh?
Oh, we've practically got a holly wreath already. The customers at the bar is turning red, and the ones that just finished eating are turning green.
Eddie, will you cut out the whiz me? I'm serious. Now, what could we do to make the joint a little more Christmassy?
We could get a nice snow effect by whitewashing the sawdust.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Sure, I could trot around under the table with a little cask of brandy tied around my neck.
Yeah, that'd be cute, like one of them St. Bernstein dogs. Good old Christmas. By the way, I wonder what Duffy is going to give us for Christmas this year.
Yeah, I wonder. Hey, you know, I kind of got my heart set on the Hope Diamond.
You hope. What did he give you in last year again?
Monogrammed dustpan.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that.
Yeah, it makes a nice set with the monogrammed broom he gave me the year before.
Now, look, Eddie, don't be bitter. After Royal Duffy ain't really such a bad guy.
No, he ain't such a bad guy.
No.
Well, so long, this is where I get off.
Eddie, you're bitter. Remember that Christmas dinner he gave us last year? The celery and the chestnuts and the cranberries.
And the cover charge.
Ah, he was kidding. That big whole roast pig with the apple in its mouth. Hello, Finnegan, where's the apple?
What apple?
Skip, it's just a little picture you happened to conjure into my mind. Anyways, Merry Christmas to you, Finnegan.
Merry Christmas to you, Archie. By the way, that brings up a subject.
What?
Archie, I'd like to ask you a question.
Well, what's the question?
Well, Arch, promise me you'll tell me the truth.
I promise.
Okay. Arch, is there a Santa Claus?
Well, bless your heart, Finnegan. What brought this on?
I was over to Macy's this morning, and on the fifth floor, there was a tall, skinny Santa Claus, and I got down to the third floor, and there's a short, fat Santa Claus. Frankly, Arch, I'm beginning to smell a rat. Now, tell me, will you?
Look, I don't want to be no stool pigeon. I'd rather you'd ask somebody else.
So, well, who am I going to ask, Arch? You ask me little brother Wilford, and he says there ain't no Santa Claus, but what does he know? He's only a child.
Look, you put me in a very bad position.
Well, you gotta tell me, Arch. I'm old enough to know. And I'm gonna find out sooner or later anyway.
Finnegan, please, I'd rather that somebody...
Oh, come on, Arch. You told me about the stork, didn't you? This is important to me.
Well, why? Why is it so important?
Well, I ain't smart enough to keep a job. I can't read. I can't write. I don't like girls. If there's no Santa Claus, what have I got to live for?
Well, okay, Finnegan, you asked for it. You see, this Santa Claus thing started, there's the birds and the bees and the flowers.
Yeah.
And, Finnegan... Turn your eyes the other way, will you? That's better. Now you ask me if this is Santa Claus. So prepare yourself, Finnegan.
Go ahead, Arch. I can take it.
Finnegan, there is no...
Arch!
No truth to the rumor that there is no Santa Claus. There is a Santa Claus.
Oh, boy, what a load up in me mind. Santa Claus, did you come in?
These are adults. Hello? Oh, just a second. Eddie, it's your girlfriend, Sonia Jones.
Oh, my. The first official sign of Christmas. Hello. Oh, hello, Sonia. And Merry Christmas. Huh? Sure, I love you, sugar. What you doing? Is you alone, baby? Ain't that a man's voice out here? Oh, you're listening to the news on the radio. Sonia, how long has Gable Heather been calling you honey? I'm just suspicious. Yeah, baby, I know I'm always in your heart. But, honey, who's that's always in your apartment? Well, Merry Christmas, honey. By the way, extend the season's greetings to Gable Heather for me. That is bad news tonight.
Look, Eddie, why do you let that Sonia kick you around like this? What are you, man or your mouse?
Pass the cheese.
Hey, Archie.
Oh, hello, Miss Duffy. Hey, what's the matter with you today?
Why?
Well, you look even more battered than usual.
Yeah, and that's just the way I feel. Gee, Archie, those department stores are terrible. You try to get near a counter and you take your life in your hands. They push you around, tear your stockings, step on your toes, gouge your eyes out.
Well, what were you trying to buy?
Nothing, I was just browsing.
Well, that's our conversation this evening on an nice idiotic basis.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, incidentally, I hear you're going to put on a Christmas show tonight.
Yes.
Well, needless to say, you'll want me to sing.
On the contrary, equally needless. You and that foghorn falsetto. That off-coloratura. You are not going
now
to...
Now listen here, you big dope.
Look, Miss Duffy, leave us not fight tonight. It's the Christmas season, and I'm in too good a mood. In fact, I'm so happy, I'd like to kiss you. Hmm? Blindfolded, of course. Okay, you can sing in the show. Mr. Melnick.
Yeah,
Look, we're going to need some Christmassy background music for the show tonight. Are you equipped?
We're loaded, Jackson.
In what way, Phil? How are you loaded?
I got a kid named Robert Maxwell that's murder on this Christmas stuff. A harp player.
Harp player, huh? Good idea. Duffy will love it. It's his native music. Okay, we'll put the kid in the show. Okay, Eddie, we're all set. Now give me that bong starter. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as you all know, each year we present our centennial Christmas show. Now, that moment has just become ripe. So I want you all to enjoy the show. Applaud when you like. Be merry. Have laughs. In other words, feel free to vent your spleen in any way you wish. So without no further ado, leave us on with the show. Carry on, Mr. Miller.
Thank you. Duffy's Tavern brings you Christmas music. Christmas drama.
But Santa Claus, suppose my husband comes home and finds you here.
Christmas humor.
Do you think we will have a white Christmas, darling?
Well, it will if it don't rain, dear. And now on with the show. For our first act this evening, we give you that beloved little entertainer, your waiter and mine, Eddie Green. To know him is to tip him. Take it, Eddie.
You better watch out. Better not cry. Better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming. Coming on down to Harlem Town. Oh, my. And you got to find out who's naughty or nice. Santa Claus is coming. With his bag full of jive, Mr. Five by Five sees you when you're sleeping, and he knows how good you've been. So if you meet him face to face, say, solid old man, give me some skin. He's got no reindeer, they ain't got no sled, but he's on his way, and he's coming instead on the actress of the people at the fire.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Eddie Green. Now, for our next act, we reach into our Christmas grab bag, and what do we pull out? None other than Mr. Robert Maxwell's The World's Greatest Harpist. Okay, Robert, take us on a Miller side with a reach beat hubcap and send us solid with that old riff-raff sad sack, kid. Okay, take it away, Robert Maxwell. You got to give the guy credit. He plays the thing with his bare hands. What? Mrs. Duffy says she would like to have a little more Christmas schmaltz, huh? Okay, boss. Look, Matty, can the kid jive out a little more dig beat with a rip on the schmaltz side?
What?
Oh, I see I'm talking to a square. Duffy says he would like something a little more befitting to the occasion of the season.
Well, how about White Christmas?
Okay, let him chop it away in a gut bucket. That thing ever has any little ukuleles, name one after me. We're going to have to continue our cruise down Santa Claus Lane. We next hear from that great singing duet, Clifton Finnegan and Miss Duffy. Better known as half a wit and a near miss. This is Third Avenue's answer to the atomic bomb. Okay, take it away.
No, 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 no,
Clifton Finnegan and Miss Duffy. You sounded like Jeanette McDonald with a half Nelson on Eddie. And now, we have a surprise act for you. Mr. Marvin Miller, our genial master of ceremonies, will beleaguer us with a poem. Go right ahead, Mr. Miller.
'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the nation, people had chest colds and had stuffed up sensations.
Just a second. Wait a minute. I think I can finish that for you. With his sleigh full of minute rub, over housetops and spires, came Santa Claus shouting, "On, Bristol, on, Myers." Okay, Mr. Mullen, you may now lapse into prose, if you please.
Well, just to say that Minute Rub, a really modern chest rub, is wonderful to help relieve that uncomfortable cold misery. All you do is rub Minute Rub on your throat, chest, and back, and in a minute, Minute Rub gets to work and starts to relieve that clogged up feeling in the nose and throat, starts to bring a feeling of warmth to those tight, sore chest muscles. And because Minute Rub is greaseless and stainless, it can't stain clothes or bed linens. So get a jar of Minute Rub and get relief from annoying cold misery the modern way, the greaseless, stainless Minute Rub way.
Okay, Mr. Miller, you may now announce the big piece of resistance.
Right. Ladies and gentlemen, we now present the Christmas Carol, written by the Dickens boys, Charles and Archie. As our scene opens, we find Ebenezer Scrooge, played by Archie, preparing to go to bed in his miserable little room on Piccadilly Square. All England is agrog with Yuletime spirit. But for miserable old Ebenezer Scrooge, there is no Christmas. At the moment, we find him in an ugly mood, writing in his diary.
Dear diary, had a pleasant day today. Bankrupted three widows, foreclosed 12 mortgages, and drove 9 families out into the snow. Barefooty, of course.
Oh, Mr. Scrooge, sire.
Oh, it is my butler, Godfrey. What do you want, my man Godfrey?
It's getting mighty cold in there. Do you think we can afford to throw another twig on the fire?
Heavens to Betsy, man, you threw one on last Friday. You think these twigs grow on trees?
I know, but it's getting cold in here. There's icicles on the window.
So what? Ain't you never seen icicles on a window before?
Not on the inside, sire. Oh, before I forget, the widow Scratchit called this morning.
Scratchit. She the widow of Willie Scratchit? Willie Scratchit?
Yeah. She's the one you work to death squeezing limes in your lime house. She says you promised to pay her a pension of 2 pence a week.
Well, get rid of her, Godfrey. If I have to go around paying 2 pence a week to every widow in Wessex, I wouldn't have a pair of pence to my name. Besides, it ain't my fault that that husband of hers didn't save nothing out of what I gave him every week.
But, sire, how much can one save out of 10 lashes a week?
Bah, humbug.
But the widow's downstairs starving, sire. Can't we at least give her a piece of bread?
Oh, leave her starve. Them poor people is all alike.
Greedy, huh, boss?
Yeah. Give them bread today and tomorrow they're back asking for water.
Yeah, but, sire, this is Christmas.
Christmas, how I hate it. Christmas trees, presents, happy people, goodwill. I hate Christmas.
But why do you feel this way, sire?
I'll tell you why, Knave. Because I am a black-hearted, tight-fisted, bitter, stingy old skinflint. No, Duffy, not you, me. Now, where was I?
Oh, yes, Godfrey. I think I shall hie me hence to bed.
Very good, Sour.
That's Sire. Yes, Godfrey. I've done a hard day's dirty work today. It'll feel good to crawl in between them nice, clean sheets of newspaper. Well, good night, my man Godfrey.
Good night, Sire.
Don't forget to blow out the twig.
Yes, Sire.
Not so hard, you fool. That twig's got to last us all day tomorrow.
Sorry, Sire.
Now to close one eye and get some sleep. Yeah, got a big day tomorrow. Got to sprinkle banana peels on the front steps of the old lady's home. Got to remember to get them chimes made softer. No sense in letting the neighbors hear the time for nothing.
Ebenezer Scrooge. Ebenezer Scrooge. Wake up.
Who's calling me? Who are you?
I am the spirit of Christmas.
Humbug.
I have come to show you the suffering that your stinginess is causing. I'm going to take you to the house of the Widow Scratcher. The next voice you hear will be that of the Widow Scratcher herself.
Oh, Tiny Tim. Tiny Tim.
Coming, Martha.
Close the door, Tim. The flies are coming in, and we haven't got enough to eat ourselves.
Mommy. I am weak with hunger.
I know it, my poor boy.
Ain't we got nothing in the house? Even a crusted zwieback?
Not even a herring. Tim, land sakes, the floor is cold. Where are your shoes? Come on, son, speak up. Where are your shoes? Tim, stop picking that leather out of your teeth and tell me, where are your shoes?
Of course I did, Mama. I am only a little tot. My body must have nourishment. Mama, why is Ebenezer Scrooge so wicked?
Oh, he isn't really wicked, son. He's just socially maladjusted. He hates to part with a buck.
Oh, yeah? Well, I still say it's wicked of him to starve a little boy like me to death.
Did you hear that, Ebenezer Scrooge? You have caused all this suffering with your stinginess.
Spirit, you've got me dead to rights. All of a sudden, I behold how low I have sank.
Well, Ebenezer, what are you going to do about it?
I'm going to give 50,000 pounds to Tiny Tim and Mrs. Scratchit. And the rest of my money, I will give to nothing but orphan asylums. Every one of them, from Essex to Wessex, from Wessex to Sussex, and as far north as Norsex. And I want to thank you, Spirit of Christmas. You have lighted up the way for me. You have learned me that it is better to give than to receive. Hello? Mrs. Duffy? Huh? He's over in the corner crying like a baby? Oh, get him over to the phone. We'll try to cheer him up. Come on, let's see. Sing him a song, huh?
Yeah.
Hello, Duffy. Well, stop crying, will you? Well, I know, and we love you, too, but Christmas ain't supposed to be sad, Duffy. Cheer up. Christmas is supposed to be gay. It's holly wreaths and Santa Claus and Prancer and Dancer and Dunder and Pilsner and... Jingle bells,
jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in one horse open sleigh.
Just a second. Hey, does that make you feel better, Duffy? Huh? What a softy. He's crying harder than ever. Thank you.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to leave Duffy's Tavern for this evening, but let's meet here again at this same time next Friday night.
From December of 1945, it's been Duffy's Tavern with Archie's Christmas Carol. Stay tuned. In a moment, more great comedy with Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy with special guest star Mario Lanza as this edition of Yesteryear continues.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear. Here's Craig Roberts.
The Charlie McCarthy Show was one of the first major variety hours to use ventriloquism on the air. Edgar Bergen was born in Chicago in February of 1903. Charlie McCarthy, born of a block of white pine about 17 years later. The story goes that one day in school, Bergen sketched the face that would launch 1,000 radio shows. He patterned Charlie's features after a kid who sold newspapers in the neighborhood. Later, he paid $35 to a carpenter named Theodore Mack, and the face was carved in pine. Edgar Bergen and his dummy Charlie McCarthy were first heard on radio on Rudy Valley's Royal Gelatin Hour in December of 1936. Charlie was sensational. They were so popular, in fact, with Valley's huge audience, that they were brought back again and again. Chase and Sanborn finally decided to cash in on the act's sudden fame by bankrolling Bergen in his own program beginning in May of 1937. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear to December of 1948. It's Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy with special guest star Mario Lanza. Another classic program from the radio vaults of yesteryear.
The Charlie McCarthy Show! Gentlemen, greeting you from Hollywood, California. On behalf of Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy, Mortimer Stern, Don Amici, and Marcia Hunt of the Bickersons by Phil Rapp, Ray Nolan's orchestra, and Pat Patrick as Ursel Twing. And here are Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
Hello, Bergen.
Yes, well, Charlie. Christmas will soon be here, and already there's a feeling of good fellowship in the air.
Yes, yes, there is. Uh-huh.
All right. Yes, the spirit of giving and receiving.
Bergen, are you giving?
Oh, yes, indeed, I am.
Well, I'm receiving.
You are.
How about a raise?
Oh, no. A raise?
Yeah. I would like a green Christmas.
Green, yeah.
Sort of a currency green.
I see. But, Charlie, you know, Charlie, so often having more money means misery.
It does, huh?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, just put me down for a slice of more misery, will you? I tell you, Bergen, it's come to a point where it's either more dough or else.
Or else?
Yes, or else.
Or else what?
Or else you can hang a vacant sign on your knee.
Oh, no. Do you mean that you're quitting?
Yes, I'm on strike.
On strike?
Yeah.
Well, now, going on strike so close to Christmas, that seems very foolish.
Well, I don't know.
You remind me of the time that Santa Claus's reindeer went on strike. Have you ever heard of it?
No, I haven't. I've been spared so far.
Well.
Up till now.
Yeah, yeah. It's the story of a disgruntled reindeer. Now, there's a long version and there's a short version. Which one would you like?
The silent version. I won't get that one.
No, no. I'll tell you the short one. It was the night before Christmas, and Santa Claus loaded his sled with toys and was ready to hitch up the reindeer. But the reindeer refused to go. So they called a strike meeting, and the reindeer presented their demands to Santa Claus. It was an awful night. Come. Silence, silence. Now, Santa Claus can't hear a thing you say if you reindeer talk all the time and all at once.
He's Santa Claus. Oh, yeah.
Now, tell me, what are your complaints, reindeer? Yes, Blitzen, you have your hoof up. What is it?
Well, I think we reindeer should have one night off a year.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah, I think so.
All right. What night?
Christmas Eve.
Now, wait a minute.
And another thing. When we're going downhill, why can't we reindeer ride in a sled with you?
Yeah, and speaking of sleds, we demand fog lights on the sleigh. And for Los Angeles, smog lights.
And another thing, Santa.
What is it, Dasher?
We demand fighter escort while going over to Russian Cuspidor.
Now, my little reindeer, you become mighty unreasonable with your old Santa. Remember, you can all be replaced by an airplane. Ho, ho, ho.
Yes, and you can be replaced by an actor. Ho, ho, ho. Remember, Santa, we're 8 reindeer strong and highly disorganized.
Yes. I say, old boy, I'd like to make a motion.
Well, what kind of a motion, Blitzen?
Oh, any kind. I'm just tired of sitting here motionless.
Santa, I demand that you get rid of those infernal sleigh bells. Mm-hmm. They keep ringing in my ears all the time, and it's horrible. Bells, bells, bells are driving me mad. You hear? Mad, mad.
What on earth is the matter with you, Prancer?
I've been taking dramatic lessons.
Oh. Well, I don't see why you reindeer take this attitude. Haven't I always been fair? I try to be big.
Well, that's the trouble. You're too big. You're too heavy to lug around in the sleigh.
Yeah, you weren't that fat when we started working for you.
Well, maybe I have gained a little in the interim.
You gained a lot in the outer rim, too.
But really, reindeer, I'm trying to watch my stomach.
Well, that shouldn't be hard. Wherever you look, there it is.
Order, order, order.
I move that we take a strike vote. All those not in favor of working like horses say nay.
Well, reindeer, if your minds are made up, I guess old Santa Claus will have to try and get along without you. I know. I can pick up a used hot rod.
Well,
I can
Yes. Wait a minute, Santa. Maybe we want to talk this over a little more. What do you say, fellas?
Keep it quiet. Friends, I'm Russell Twing, and I'm looking for Mr. S. Claus. Mm-hmm. And I think he's a well-known philanthropist.
Yes. I'm Santa Claus, and what brings you here?
Well, do you mind if I step inside?
Sure, surely, come
here. Yes, it's so cold, and I'm just so aggravated, I'm fit to be tied. Mm. And I don't mean Yuletide either.
Did you have a cold trip coming up here?
Cold? Yes. Oh, heavens to Elizabeth. I was up to my gizzard in Blizzard. Mm. And I came 50 miles by dog sled, too. And the last 10 by just plain dogs. And, oh, they're just killing me something awful. I tell you, friend, I walked and I walked until I'm just one big pain.
Now, that's the impression you give me.
Very smart. One more little remark out of you, young reindeer, and I'll twist your little antlers.
Well, what brings you here, Mr. Twing?
Well, I'm here...
You are?
Yeah. I'm here, and I want to take pictures of all you reindeer for our ladies' magazine called Good Housebroken.
Goody, at last we're getting publicity.
Yeah.
Sure. We're going to have our pictures taken, aren't we? Yeah. Be sure and photograph my best side, won't you?
Oh, don't you want your face in the picture?
Now, let's see. There's so many people around here, I can't play. What kind of a film should I use on you? Let's see, I think you have a panchromatic pan.
Nah, that's good.
Well, is your film very sensitive?
No, but I am. And just be careful what you say to me, too.
Well, tell me, what kind of shutter do you use?
Well, I don't use a shutter at all. You see, I use a Venetian blind.
Oh, that's
because
nice
in the morning the sun comes right. Oh, you mean my camera?
Oh, come on. Now, take our pictures,
You see, Santa, somebody thinks we're important. Look at all the publicity they're going to give us.
Yeah, and without any help from you, Santa.
Now, just a moment, Dasher. It was Santa Claus who asked me to come up here and take your pictures.
Did you, Santa, really?
Well, why not? I gotta think of my partners, don't I?
Good old Santa.
Well, fellas, it looks like Santa rides again.
Now, just a moment, Santa Claus. Would you mind dropping off a gift to Jane Russell?
Jane Russell? Well, gladly. What do you want me to bring her?
Me. Goodbye,
Aya.
Goodbye,
Aya.
Well, I guess we're off. All right, Thunder, Blitz, and Prancer, let's go.
Making a mistake, taking it twice. Gonna find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town.
beautiful sight. We're happy tonight, walking in a winter wonderland. On a way, we go along,
walking in the winter wonderland.
In the meadow we can build a snowman.
In the meadow,
and pretend that he is harsh and proud.
In the meadow,
children, there is say no man, but you can do the job when you're in town. Later on we'll conspire as we dream by the fire. We'll face unafraid the plans that we made, walking in a winter wonderland.
Santa Claus coming.
Santa Claus coming.
Santa Claus coming. Santa Claus coming. Santa Claus coming to town.
He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake.
Season's greetings.
Well, thanks. A lot of seasoning to you, too. Yeah.
You seem to be in good spirits.
Well, I guess you heard about me, haven't you?
No. Why, no. What happened?
I'm getting married.
Oh, yeah. Mortimer getting married?
Yeah.
My. Well, this is interesting.
Yeah.
Who are you marrying?
Oh, you know, one of them female girls.
Of the opposite sex?
Of the opposite sex. Well, I just can't believe it, Mortimer.
Yeah, it's true.
Mortimer getting married.
Yeah. I reckon we all gotta go sometime.
What does this girlfriend of yours, what does she look like?
Oh, she's kind of rounded. Sort of bulgy. Sort of girl-shaped.
Girl-shaped, yeah. Well, how did you meet her, Mortimer?
Well, it was at a party, and I was just standing there under a chandelier when all of a sudden the girl came over and flung her arms around me.
She threw her arms around you.
Well,
I see.
I guess she had a crunch on me.
Yeah, I mean. Well, now, you know that's not so impossible. I think you have a certain rustic charm.
I must have something. Yeah.
Maybe she likes the way you wear your clothes.
Yeah, might be. I was wearing my new pushover sweater.
You sort of liked her arms around you?
No, boy. When I left a whiff of that bay rum she was wearing, I was a goner.
Yeah, I see. You waft a whiff. Yeah, I see. You mean she had perfume.
And you know what she did?
What did she do?
She kissed me.
No.
No!
Well... And what did you do after she kissed you?
I got down off the chandelier. I ain't been so excited since the time I got my tongue froze to the pump handle.
So that's how the romance started.
Yeah.
When did you propose to her? I say, when did you propose to her?
Well, I ain't proposed to her.
You haven't?
No.
Well, aren't you engaged?
Well, no.
You're not?
No.
Well, then why are you considering marrying her?
Well, She kissed me, didn't she?
Yes, I know.
Well?
Well, what?
Mr. Bergen, us nerds ain't cads.
Oh! Why, that doesn't mean anything. Let me explain what happened. You were standing under the chandelier, and there was mistletoe tied to it. The girl had a perfect right to come up and kiss you.
She did?
Well, of course. You probably weren't the first boy she kissed, and you most likely won't be the last.
I guess you're right. If she'll kiss me, she'll kiss anybody.
You know, it's wonderful what the holiday season does to people, isn't it, Edgar?
Well, most people, Ken.
Yes, I was just wondering how the Bickersons are going to enjoy their Christmas.
Well, judging from the way they spent it last year, I imagine they'll be rather happy.
What do you mean?
Well, curiously enough, I ran into Bickerson shopping around for a present the other day, and he told me all about it.
This should be interesting.
It was last Christmas Eve. Blanche Bickerson was busy wrapping presents in the bedroom, while her husband, John, exhausted from the pre-holiday activity, put the finishing touches to the tree standing proudly in the kitchen, the only other room in the Bickerson small apartment.
John! John! Will you bring the scissors, please? John! What's he doing in there? Asleep
on a ladder. I better get him off of there.
John! John! What's the matter, Bessie? What happened? Oh,
you poor dear. Did you hurt yourself? No. I'm all right. I want to go to bed.
Oh, John, you never even touched your dinner. Not a morsel of it.
I don't like the looks of it, Blanche.
Well, do you want me to warm it up for you?
No. Just tell me what's on that big plate.
Are you trying to be funny, John?
I'm not trying to be funny, Blanche. What is it?
You know very well I can only cook two things, liver and rice pudding.
Well, which one is that?
You be so picky on Christmas Eve, John.
Blanche, I just asked you a simple question. That's all. I didn't think it was liver because your liver always looks like rubber heels. But that stuff looks more like scrambled eggs, so I thought it might be rice pudding.
Why don't you taste it and find out?
I'm not hungry.
That's why you're always tired, John. You don't eat enough.
I eat plenty.
What did you have for lunch today?
Well, you ought to know. You packed it for me. And listen, Blanche, I'm getting sick of carrying my lunch to the office in paper sacks. Why can't I go to a restaurant,
John,
like the...
What are you talking about? I haven't fixed your lunch for 2 years.
Oh, Blanche, every morning of my life, I find my lunch wrapped in a brown paper bag on the side of the sink.
Lunch? That's the garbage.
My Blanche.
Aren't you going to finish the tree?
I can do it in the morning.
Don't be so crabby, John. We're not going to fight on Christmas Eve, no matter what happens. Now remember, you promised.
Okay.
I'm not even going to get mad because you didn't send me a Christmas card.
I did send you a Christmas card.
It isn't necessary to make excuses or alibis, John. I'm going to forget it entirely.
I don't have to make excuses. I did send you a Christmas card. I mailed it 5 days ago.
Well, I hope you don't forget to send me one next year either.
Ugh, what's the use? All right, so I didn't send you a card.
That's all. Why didn't you admit it before?
There was nothing to admit. I just said I didn't send it to end the argument, but I really sent it.
What did it say on it?
It said, Merry Christmas to my love.
That could be anybody.
Well, let me finish. It said, Merry Christmas to my love, my wife, my life, my turtle dove. Life with you is great, it seems. I love you more than pork and beans.
You're only adding insult to injury, John.
Well, how do I know what it said? I can't remember what... What's that laying on top of the newspaper? There it is. There's my card.
So it is. See? You didn't need to get excited after all. Thank you, darling. It's a lovely card.
Wear it in good health. Well, let's open the presents and then go to sleep.
Oh, all right.
Gee, we haven't got very many this year, have we? Who's this from?
Oh, that's from Leo Gooseby. It's amazing how you went to the one shaped like a bottle.
Oh, is that what it is? Hope it's good stuff. Wow, it's not bad at all.
John, that's shampoo.
Shampoo? I that chiseler, two-bit Leo. And to think I threw out 39 cents on a tie for him. What have you got there?
It's another present for you, from your boss.
No kidding. Let me have that. Gee, it's a big one, isn't it?
What is it, John?
A 5-gallon can of lighter fluid. That's fine. That's just what I need. Never heard of such presents.
Here's one from Edith Gordon.
I bet that's a dilly.
Oh, Edith always sends something nice. Not expensive, but it usually comes in handy. Well, look at that.
What is it?
It's a polo score pad. Isn't that nice?
That'll sure come in handy, won't it? Honest, Blanche, you've got the weirdest collection of friends. Is there anything else?
Just our presents to each other. Why don't you look at what I got you first? Then you can show me what you got for me. Close your eyes. I'll unveil it.
Well, all right. I hope you didn't spend too much, dear. I don't really want anything.
Open your eyes.
Blanche! Oh, Blanche, darling, it's beautiful. It's a dream. A portable bar with a brass rail.
Kisses in order, John?
A million kisses.
Well, stop kissing the bar. I meant a kiss for me.
I'm sorry, darling. It's just too good to be true. Oh, you're wonderful. Blanche, that must have cost a fortune.
John, don't get angry, but I sold my fur coat.
You sold your fur coat?
I wanted you to have the bar, and I didn't have the money.
You sold your coat? That beautiful fur coat that you bought yourself for my birthday? That gorgeous bald mink?
I got $70 for it. The bar cost $85.
Oh, Blanche, you never should have sold that bald mink.
It doesn't matter. I have a cloth coat, and I never get cold.
But you don't understand. Open the present I got for you.
I can't wait, John. Oh, a muff. A fur muff.
Genuine pluck skunk. I had it made especially to match that coat. It can hold 2 full quarts. And you sold the coat.
Well, what's the difference, darling? Someday you'll make a lot of money, and then you'll be able to have a coat made to match the muff. I'm very happy, John.
I know, but...
And you still have that gorgeous bar.
It's just it.
What's the matter?
I sold all my bourbon to pay for the muff. It's great, isn't it? What a break for both of us.
I think it's wonderful, John.
What do you mean, Blanche?
I've never been so happy in my life. We both made a sacrifice, and that's worth more than all the gold and precious jewels in the world. Just to know that you gave up a prized possession is proof enough that you love me.
I've always loved you, Blanche. I may holler and rant and act like a first-class crumb sometimes. But you never doubted that I loved you, did you?
No, John.
It's been 7 years, honey. Most of it uphill. I haven't showered you with diamonds or bought any yachts, but I try not to deny you anything. I suppose you have your little faults. What woman hasn't? Or what man either, for that matter? We're both pretty sensitive people. Maybe that's why we beef so much. Still, I don't think we're any worse than any other married couple. At least we have a safety valve and we can let off steam. Some of the others carry it inside until the break comes. Now, Blanche, I like it this way. And I love you more than anything on earth.
John!
Hey. Now, cut that out. I'll prove how much I love you. Where's that liver or rice pudding or whatever it is you made?
It's liver.
Well, I'll eat every bit of it if it kills me. Let's go. Oh,
Merry Christmas, darling.
Merry Christmas.
And ladies and gentlemen and listeners everywhere, a big economy size Merry Christmas from yours truly, Edgar Bergen.
And a trial size from yours truly, Charlie McCarthy.
Good night, everyone.
From December 19th of 1948, it's been Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy with special guest star Mario Lanza. Well, that's all we have time for today, but join us again next week. In fact, every week at this time for more great moments from the golden age of radio. I'm Craig Roberts with those thrilling days of yesteryear. Till next time, so long.
Radio, remember radio. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. Comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite show. Radio, I miss you so. Do-de-o-do-de-o-do.